I guess I wanted to start, maybe because it's so fascinating to think about him growing up, maybe we could actually start with like the day that Johnny was born.
The day that Johnny was born, August 27th, 1911, in a row home in Baltimore, Maryland, 622 North Milton Avenue. If you want to, you want to start to the exhibition, you would start at the his banner line, his front, which is an old image from the collection of Johnny sitting in front of his single O banner line. You have to walk through the banner line, essentially, conceptually, to get into the exhibit. And the first thing you'll see here is a wall, which is a quote taken from his autobiography. It's an excerpt where one of the midwives, as he was being born, said, "Oh my God, this is a broken doll, and that is what I appeared to be." Next to that is the stained glass transom window from their home, 622 North Milton Avenue. And then it's surrounded by images of his mother, the father, his brother, and images of them as little boys. Johnny, his entire life would hold court on the front steps, and that's a Baltimore thing, is sitting on your white marble steps and watching the world go by. Johnny did that from the time he was born to the time he died. There's a picture of him doing his famous one-armed handstand in the threshold of his house at Milton Avenue. Here he is as a little boy. He's probably, I would say, they're about 2.5, 3 years old there, sitting with the mother, Amelia Eckhart, and they loved him. The parents loved and embraced and encouraged their little boys.
And Johnny was pretty quick to exhibit some artistic talent or artistic interest. Did he get started early in doing creating art?
He did. He started very early. I mean, he was good with his hands. No, he had an early natural interest and an ability in drawing. This, what we're standing in front of, is his daybed. It's a tiny little leather, looks like a quintessential shrink's couch. But there in his diary, he talks about this little couch. And when he was a boy, he would lay on this on his stomach, and he would have his chest up on the pillow part there, and he would lay over and he would draw.
Young John could have lived a quiet, private life with the Eckhart family in East Baltimore, but he was destined for bigger things. An early encounter with a traveling magician led to a lifelong career as an entertainer.
Johnny was a performer, I think, from the day he was born. It came very natural to him. One day, his mother took them down the street to a magic show that was being held in a church basement. It was a magic show for crippled children, and Johnny and his brother Rob and their mother went, and they, you know, their clothes were sort of tattered and worn. They weren't wealthy people. They were, you know, working class, blue collar. And the mother said, you know, "Keep it down, keep quiet, don't embarrass me. I don't want people to, you know, notice your clothes." So they're watching the performance, and it's a magician by the name of John T. McCaslin is performing magic, and he calls for a volunteer. And Robert volunteers, and here's his, you know, he's already disobeyed his mother by calling attention to himself. He's on stage and he's helping the magician, and he turns this piece of paper into a beautiful tablecloth. And the mother's, as they tell it, the mother's fainted in the back. She's horrified that people are looking at her tattered and worn kids. The trick goes on, and the tablecloth is revealed. And McCaslin says, "Is there anybody in this audience that would like to take this tablecloth home to your mother?" Well, clitter clatter of all the crutches and the canes and kids trying to get up, and there's a big dog pile of people, and there's Johnny just trampling up on his hands. He goes up, he snatches that tablecloth, he puts it in his mouth, and he runs back to his seat. Mother faints again. McCaslin turns to Robert and says, "Who was that kid?" He said, "Well, that's my brother Johnny." Not soon after that, Mr. McCaslin approached the family and said, "You know, I'm a manager for talented young boys such as your own, and I'd like to put them under contract and put them into show business." And that was the start of it. John T. McCaslin got them their first shows. And they were sort of ramshackle mud shows, moldy tents, hay bales to perform on, and just very, very low rent. But that's the beginning of his career.
Gordon is a lifelong collector of art, objects, and antiques. His now vast Johnny Eck collection began with the acquisition of a single object and has been growing for almost 2 decades. He's traveled the country, visiting and interviewing Johnny's friends and relatives, piecing together the story of his life. He even purchased the Eckhart home on Milton Avenue.
It's taken me 18 years at this point to acquire what I've acquired, and the first thing that I did purchase was this steamer trunk, now displayed with some of Johnny's tailored clothes. In that trunk were dozens of letters to Johnny, from Johnny while he was on the road, sent to his family, and dozens of photographs. And when I acquired the trunk with that in it, I started reading them that day, and the more I read, the more fascinated I became. I didn't even know he had a twin brother at the time, and I didn't know who Robert Eckhart was. Who is Robert Eckhart? Robert Eckhart. And that sparked my interest, and it was from that trunk on that I became obsessed with the collection. And the thing for me, too, is that early on I realized there was something special in the life of Johnny and Rob Eckhart. And I wanted to learn as much as I could about those brothers. And in the course of that, I became inspired as a person. You know, I was moved by these kids. So it was less about them as freaks or Johnny as a freak, and it was more about their ability to achieve anything they set their mind to. And I apply that to my career today. When I look back at my career as a filmmaker and I look at all the different things that I've done, I think I got that from Johnny. You know, I really, really do. There's nothing I can't do, and I wholeheartedly believe that I can do anything that I set my mind to. And so I'm willing to go off on all these tangents and try different things, whether it's being a photographer or a filmmaker or an obsessive collector or an art collector or whatever, a traveler. Whatever it is, I'm going to do it. And that's what Johnny and Rob did.
In addition to his career with the traveling show, Johnny was an accomplished painter, photographer, screen painter, toy maker, puppeteer, race car driver. He even owned and operated his own miniature train. That train is among Gordon's prized possessions and on display in the exhibit. There's also a small room devoted to a surprising number of risque, R. Crumb-style drawings and illustrations by Johnny that were stashed away in his basement. But when asked to pick a favorite from among the wildly diverse items on display, Gordon was quick to respond.
I think Johnny's miniature circus is fantastic in a lot of ways, not just the artistry and the scale of it, but the detail that he put into these things. Mind you, this was done in the mid 1920s, in the off season from being on the road. Johnny's at home, it's winter. What do? You keep yourself busy. There's no TV. Yes, there's radio. But Johnny, using old cheese boxes and fruit crates, there were no model kits at that time. He took these old scraps of trash and made a circus, a fully functional miniature circus. This is absolutely, by far, one of my favorite things in the collection. Look at these little, he made every little hinge. He made every little spoke. He painted them. And then what's nice about this circus is that it was designed so that everything would pack up into the back of each car and could be traveled to the next town. This, the water circus display here, the top arches come off. He painted the different scenes of a Bathing Beauty. This is for the high dive, where the lady climbs the thing and dives into a little bucket. This all folds down flat, and everything packs in the car, and you hook it up to your horse, and you take it away. He worked for the Johnny J. Jones Exposition for a number of years. Absolutely one of my favorites.
Gordon's Johnny Eck collection has always been about preserving the man's life and legacy, but there's more to it than that. The real joy, according to Gordon, is sharing the collection with others, in the hopes that they, too, might be inspired by the full life of the famous half-man.
This collection has always been, not at this scale, but I've always had at least one Johnny Eck room in any home that I've ever lived in. and it would have a cross-section of my collection, some of my favorite things pulled out and on display for friends, family, guests. And then, of course, the albums would always be close at hand, and I would pull them out and share my collection. And I continue to be blown away and surprised at my collection. When I was getting this show together, you know, I've been out of state working for a number of years, and a lot of this has been in boxes, archival boxes at home. And so it was a rediscovery for me to go back into these things, and there were things that I completely forgot about that took me off guard, that surprised me, that made me laugh, that, you know, made me feel kind of warm and like, wow, I'm really doing something right here with this collection. And this collection for me has always been about sharing it, and I'm very thankful that I have this opportunity at MICA to share it. It should not be in a private collection in somebody's home. It needs to be shown to people, because I think there's a lot to glean from this, and you know, being at an art institute, I want people to leave this exhibition inspired by a man that they maybe knew about, but I want them to walk away with knowing that much more about him. He wasn't just the guy that was in the movie Freaks That Had No Legs. He wasn't just the guy that you'd see in East Baltimore sitting on his stoops that was a freak and, you know, had no legs. He wasn't just the screen painter. He was a wood carver, a photographer, a Punch and Judy operator, a screen painter, an actor, a magician, a race car driver, a train conductor, an artist. That's what he was. You know, he seemed like a pretty cool dude.
Jeffrey Pratt Gordon is director of the Johnny Eck Museum and the curator of the Amazing Johnny Eck Exhibition. The show runs through March 16th at the Decker Gallery at the Maryland Institute College of Art. You can see a special screening of Todd Browning's 1932 cult classic Freaks, starring Johnny Eck, on Saturday, March 8th at 8 p.m. at the Brown Center at MICA. And you can learn more about Johnny's life and work online at johnnyeckmuseum.com. For The Signal, I'm Lisa Morgan.